The music was specially composed and played by Ollie Fox, and sound design was by Steve Brook. The Midnight Cry of the Death Bird was directed in Salford by Susan Roberts. Well, next Sunday night's drama is a live broadcast from Radio 3's Free Thinking Festival in Gateshead. The Torchbearers by Simon Armitage tells the stories of four people whose lives and obsessions come within touching distance of the Olympic flame. That's next week's drama on 3 at the later time of 9 o'clock next Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3. Well, it's now just after 10:05 and time for this week's edition of World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Hello, and on today's programme we review some recent world music releases with writers and broadcasters Jane Cornwell and John L. Walters. First, we have 11 musicians in the World Roots studio with us, 8 singers and 3 instrumentalists. All but one are Turkish, they all are based in London, and they play roots traditions from around Turkey. This is the Nefez folk music group with the song Kahveyi Kavururlar. They roast the coffee.
Kahveyi kavururlar, içmeden savururlar, içmeden savururlar. Bizim köyün adeti sevmeden ayırırlar, sevmeden ayırırlar. Bizim köyün adeti sevmeden ayırırlar, sevmeden ayırırlar. Yarim eylemeli, eylemeli, güzel yarın gönlünü eylemeli.
Haydi yarim eylemeli, eylemeli, güzel yarın gönlünü eylemeli.
Kahvenin köpüklüsü, meşenin kütüklüsü, meşenin kütüklüsü. Kadınım aman aman, saraylar kıymetlisi, saraylar kıymetlisi. Kadınım aman aman, saraylar kıymetlisi, saraylar kıymetlisi. Haydi yarim eylemeli, eylemeli, güzel yarın gönlünü eylemeli.
Haydi yarim eylemeli, eylemeli, güzel yarın gönlünü eylemeli.
They roast the coffee by the London-based Turkish folk group Nefes in session here in the studio, and they'll be coming back at the end of the programme for some more Turkish folk music featuring the lute balama, percussion and voices. First, it's another roundup of recent world music releases, and I have writers and broadcasters Jane Cornwell and John L. Walters with me, and they've brought along CDs of music from Mali, Brazil, Colombia, and a rather well-known band from England. But let's start with you, Jane, and actually I said Colombia, but it's vintage Colombia.
Very vintage, Lucy. This is Diablos del Ritmo, the Colombian melting pot, 1960 to 1985, which is a bit of a mouthful. This is a double CD that comes with a 60-page booklet, and it's showcasing the diversity of music from Colombia. So we've got two CDs here, one devoted to the African side of Colombian music, and one a little bit more traditional with your cumbia and mapalé. Very hard for me to choose a track. There's some amazing tracks here. I've gone for a track that's sort of Kenya-inspired, really. Psychedelic guitars, fabulous dance track by a man called Abelardo Carbono. But let's just have a listen to it. It's Shall Carry by Grupo Apaca.
Well, that's a track called Shall Carry by Grupo Abarca, and it's from the excellent two-CD compilation Diablos del Ritmo, the Colombian Melting Pot, 1960 to 1985, which is out on Analog Africa number 12. One of the things that I find absolutely riveting about this compilation is the fact that it shows that there was an awful lot of music circulating around the world, particularly between Africa and Colombia, which back then in the 1960s and 70s, which is new to me.
One thing that struck me straight away was you could say it's partly about the impact of technology on culture, because when you get new instruments, new recording techniques, and you can hear bits of music from all over the world via the radio in a particular country or town, you put together your own music with those materials, and it comes out sounding a bit like American
lots
music, a bit
things.
Like African music, a bit like pop music, but it comes out in your own way, and maybe you know, the equipment you've got isn't quite the same as you might get in New York or Bamako.
Or Barranquilla, which is actually where this is from, is that right?
That's right, Barranquilla, where I've been. It's a port city, and I think like any port city in the world, you do tend to get a lot of, you know, records coming in. And, you know, I think it's up for discussion how all these influences came about. I mean, what's interesting to me about this is that it's a testament to sort of vinyl collecting nerddom, really, you know, that Analog Africa was set up by a guy called Sami Ben Redjeb, who's a Tunisian guy living in Germany, and he just loves his African vinyl. So he's trawled the world collecting. What happened in this situation was he went to Barranquilla with a whole lot of African vinyl.
But he went to Barranquilla to find Colombian vinyl, is that right?
That's right. So he wanted, you know, but it was an idea of bartering. He took African vinyl because there's a big record collecting aesthetic, if you like, in Colombia. You know, I've been there and I've seen record fairs with big, you know, exhibitions of vinyl covers and, you know, and significantly, I think, as well in Barranquilla at the time was a label called Discos Tropical. So, you know, the name basically says what it's about. You know, you can hear the disco element in the track we just played. You can hear the James Brown vibe. And as John says, all this sort of cross-cultural, there's so much kind of creativity going on here. And there's a sense of humour about this whole genre. It's not really a genre, is it? Because there's so many different, you know, works in here. But it's fabulous. It's a really fabulous album.
And the second CD is much more kind of in the better-known genre of Colombian music, cumbia. So if you're looking for cumbia, you're going to get it.
I think the other thing to mention is that, quite aside from the sort of nerdy or scholarly aspect of this, it's full of great feels, great rhythmic feels that are kind of hybrid, but it's underpinned by this cumbia influence.
Well, that's why they're called the Devils of Rhythm, the Diablos del Ritmo.
It's a great dance album.
Well, Diablos del Ritmo is out on Analog Africa on the 12th of November. So we're jumping ahead several decades, but we're staying in South America. We're moving over to Brazil for the next artist.
This is the new album by Vinicius Cantuária, who many people think of as the 21st century Tom Jobim. It's recorded in New York, where he lives now, and in Rio. And we're going to hear two very short tracks. The second one, Um Dia, and the first one, the title track, Indio de Apartamento.
Mm-hmm.
Vinicius Cantuaria from his album Indio de Apartamento, and we heard two short tracks there. Un Dia was the one we just heard, and before that we heard the title track, and that is on the French label Naive. So it's a very interesting album because on the one hand, you know, he does sound, as you said, John, like the sort of the new Tom Jobim, and we heard that very clearly in the Umjia track. But on the other hand, he's got this kind of very dark side to him, and very kind of sort of there's that sort of sense of anxiety and melancholy that permeates his music.
I think that's why he's a great artist for our times. And he's also very melodic, and he's got he's great in concert. He understands electronics very well and uses them. But compared to his previous albums, this is really quite a minimal, rather muted and melancholy album, which is, we're told, it's made after the death of his, or completed after the death of his mother. So I wouldn't put it up with what one of the... It's not in the top three of his body of work, which is actually very, very good and consistent.
I think what's interesting about Vinicius is now that after leaving Brazil and going to New York, he's done what fellow Brazilians like Arto Lindsay have done, and really sort of got into the experimental scene. So he's worked with people like Brian Eno, Reishi Sakamoto, who's here on the album, and that title track, Indio di Apartamento, was him doing everything. So he's doing, you know, the loops, he's singing, he's playing, and I love the fact that he's sort of pushing it there into the more experimental stuff. Some of this I find a little bit dour, a little bit, you know, one-dimensional. There's an English language track with Jesse Harris, who's Nora Jones' pianist. Now, Nora Jones is here on piano on another track, but the English language track, it doesn't work for me.
No, it doesn't work for me either, to be honest.
The thing about Vinicius is that he's a great collaborator, and I'm sure almost anyone who calls him up, you know, to say, would you like to do a duo, he'll probably say, yeah, sure. I can see that the record company probably think of the English language track as being the radio play one, but anyone hearing that would not get a good idea of the album as a whole, which is much better.
Well, Vinicius Cantuaria's album Indio de Apartamento is out on Naive on the 5th of November. So let's move across from Brazil, across the Atlantic, and go to Mali. Jane.
Yes, we're in Mali, which, as everyone listening to the show knows, is a musical hotbed of Africa. This is Zani Diabate, who really is one of Mali's unsung heroes. He was the lead guitarist of a very well-known band in the 80s. This is a new album that he was putting the finishing touches to before he sadly passed away. This lead track, you can see why he's really so important. It's called Bogatige Kanu.
Come
Well, that's one of the great musicians of Mali who died last year, 2011. Zani Djebate, a wonderful guitarist with his band Les Héritiers, and that was the track Bogotigi Kanu from his album Chientalao, which is out on Stearns. And for me, very much, well, Zani Djebate was, as Jane, as you said, he was the leader of a band in the 1980s in Mali called Super Jata, and they were a very important band because they opened up a whole new repertoire. They moved away just from the old griot songs that had been the main sound of the 1970s, and they drew on different regional traditions of people who weren't so well represented.
That's right,
on
like
the national level,
Bozo, all sorts of stuff. And I think they could have been huge. It was just sort of the wrong timing, really, in history, in a sense, that Zani and the band came over to play the West. And it was at a time when world music was kind of exploding in the late 1980s. And there was just too many people
around. Actually, early 19. It was in early and mid 1980s. That was the great period of the Super Jata. And they did play at venues in Holland. And they had a bit of a cult following. But they never really made it.
Well, the New York Times critic Robert Kriskar said Super Jata's groove is harder than Zaire and Sukus and fiercer than Senegalese Mbalak. So, I mean, they really packed a punch. And you can hear his Zani's guitar playing here. And he was also touted around as the Jimi Hendrix of Mali. Like, you know, every country can only have one Jimi Hendrix. But he wasn't, because where Hendrix had very flashy kind of solos and flourishes, what you find with Zani is that he's, because he was a dancer and a percussionist, he almost follows the music with his guitar and with his body. And, you know, he'll do a little brilliant riff here and there, but really it's a very collaborative effort, and that's what I love about this.
Well, I guess the music world is full of these I might have been a contender moments, isn't it? I mean, it happens everywhere. You discover fantastic musicians and bands who are just completely off the radar or just didn't want to play that kind of role, that kind of game at the time. And I think we're all very fortunate that he managed to get into the studio with this young band of...
Who, by the way...
I mean, they're all the sons
of
renowned musicians. So, you know, he's very well supported.
They're the sons of the people who were in the Super Jata band, who mm-hmm. had the very iconic voices. And the voice we just heard is the son of a great singer called Flani Sangare, who was in the Super Jata band. This is Alou, the son. So I think that's why they're called... The inheritors, Les Héritiers. I think it's the second generation of Super Jata.
It's a real feel-good album. You feel that everybody wanted to make the best possible album and to feature Zani at his best. And I think that's what we got. It's just sad that he isn't around to receive the acclaim.
Yeah, and it's a painful reminder of what's happening in Mali and how difficult it is now for musicians like this band, Les Héritiers, to make music and to make a living out of music.
Well, that's right. The thing about Zani as well was that he taught so many of these musicians that we hear now. So it is a great testament.
Well, Chientalao by Zani Djebate with his band Les Héritiers was recently released on the Stearns label in the UK. And finally, we come back to the fair British Isles with a band that's rather famous, John.
I think this is going to be the most controversial album of today's choices. This is Broadside by Bellowhead, who are a fantastic live band with a big following, just about to go on tour. And we're going to hear their version of Lily Bellero.
There was an old farmer in Sussex to dwell. Lily Bellero, la. He had an old wife and she gave him hell. He came to him at the plow. He says, I want your wife and I want her now.
Lero, 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 lero
cleverly hoisted her up on his arm. Down to hell with Harry did jump. Devils are playing with chains.
Lily Valero, ba-la-la-la.
She took up a stick and she knocked out their brains.
Lily Valero, ba-la-la-la.
Two more devils that tell her the wall.
Lily Valero, ba-la-la-la.
They soon to get back cause she'll murder us all.
Lily Valero, ba-la-la-la.
Hoisted her back on his hump. Lady Valero, ba-la-la-la. Back up to earth with her empty jump.
Lady Valero, ba-la-la-la.
Lily Bulero by Bellowhead, and that's one of the tracks from their album Broadside, which was released on the 15th of October by Navigator Records. So you said, John, that it would probably be the most controversial of the four CDs that we've been reviewing.
Well, I could have hardly chosen two more contrasting albums. The sort of super sensitive melancholy of Vinicius Cantuari into the
understated,
understated and quiet and very modest. And here we have this really quite vulgar confection of brass and strings, crowd vocals, soundtrack melodrama, with all played very, very crisply with a
huge panache.
It's incredibly skillful. Every track has had so much work put into it, into the arrangement. But I find it, I do like Bellowhead and I've really enjoyed hearing them live, but I find it quite difficult to listen to this in one go as an album, because every track is really trying to beat you over the head with its intense drama and musicality and cleverness.
Jane?
Yeah, I couldn't eat a whole one either. The fact that it's been produced by John Leckie, who's a great producer, who's done albums, produced albums by the Stone Roses and Radiohead, and I think what he's really trying to do is transmit the live vibe in a recording. I think the people that perhaps will be interested in this album would be Bellowhead fans already.
And there are many of them.
And there are many, many.
Goodness.
I mean, this band has done amazingly, amazingly
following.
Well. You know, they've had four acclaimed albums, they've had seven BBC Folk Awards, sellout tours, a massive following. And a lot of the stuff, yeah, it is for me a little bit bombastic, let's say. You know, I did find myself trying to turn it down until I couldn't turn it down anymore. What is brilliant about Bellowhead is that they are really grabbing folk music by the scruff of the neck and yanking it into the 21st century. And there's a lot of respect there for the traditional songs.
Should we point out they're nearly all traditional songs? Lily Bolero, which we just heard, will be familiar to World Service, BBC World Service listeners as their very familiar signature tune. And they've combined it, or they put it together with a traditional song called The Devil and the Farmer's Wife. There's some great stories in here taken from Broadsides, which gives the album its name.
I think what I would have liked to have heard more is John Bowden's vocals. I'd like to have those pushed up to 11 more. I think they slightly get lost in the mix, and his voice is great. I don't think it's done justice on a lot of these tracks.
Yes, Bowden's vocal sound on this record is a bit of an enigma, and I think it must be deliberate. But I think it also gives Bellahead a certain edge. Bowden's vocals have this detachment, almost a kind of new wave sneer, so that when that's combined with the rather kind of jazzy approach in the band, it's like Percy Grainger meets Sham 69 with a side order of Colosseum Mark I.
Well, Bellahead's album Broadside was released on Navigator Records last month, and Bellahead will be touring the UK from the 6th to the 24th of November. And I'm sure you can find details of that tour on their website. Thanks very much to both of you, Jane Cornwell and John L. Walters, for bringing in an interesting selection of CDs to review. And as always, the details of the music that you're hearing on this programme can be found on the BBC Radio 3 website. Well, at the beginning of the programme, we heard the London-based Turkish folk group Nefes, a word that means breath. They're a group of mainly Anatolian Turks living in London and carrying on the fabulously diverse folk music from around Turkey. They're back in the World Roots studio with us now. And first up, we're going to be hearing two songs from the ancient Aşık or Bardic tradition. So here is, playing specially for World Roots, Nefes.
Şu zamanın çol gitti azık kaldı.
Yaşanılası dünyanın ne tadı ne tuzu kaldı. Ömür denen şu zamanın çol gitti azık kaldı.
Çalışmadan yiyenlerin derimizi yiyenlerin nice benim diyenlerin ne izine tozu kaldı. Çalışmadan yiyenlerin derimizi yiyenlerin nice benim diyenlerin ne izine tozu kaldı. Kendini akılar kamiller özünü dağlar. Kurudu çaylar ırmaklar ser çeşmenin gözü kaldı.
Cahiller kendini akılar kamiller özünü yağlar. Kurudu çaylar ırmaklar ser çeşmenin.
Dertli divaninin varı canandır canın öz yarı. Geçti bu devrin baharı ne yazı ne güzü kaldı. Dertli divaninin varı canandır canın öz yarı. Geçti bu devrin baharı ne yazı ne güzü kaldı.
Thank you.
Şimdi bir huyumuz ya dost gitmiyor hoşa. Şimdi bir huyumuz gitmiyor hoşa. Kimi ağa oldu, kimisi paşa. Piro, kimisi paşa. Atlas libas giyen geçiyor başa. Hani aba hırka, şan nerede kaldı? Atlas libas giyen geçiyor başa. Hani aba hırka, şan nerede kaldı? Piro piro, şan nerede kaldı? Kime ne diyem de ya dost, ben kime küsem? Kime ne diyem de ben kime küsem? Yağmur gibi yağım, gel gibi esem. Bir o gel gibi esem. Hüryani hasbı hal olayım desem, müşkül danışacak kul nerede kaldı? Dünyayı hasır hal olayım desem, müşkül danışacak kul nerede kaldı? Piro piro, kul nerede kaldı?
Here in the World Roots studio, the group Nefes from Turkey, that is to say, there are 11 musicians and 10 of them are from Turkey. One of them is from very near the border with Turkey, from Thrace in Greece. And the organizer and founder of this group, Nefes, is Gönül Ekmekçi. And the musical director is Hamit Sağ. And they've both come over to join me for a quick chat about the music that we just heard. So we heard two songs that were put together as one, and the title of the first one was Ser Çeşme, and the second one was Yol Nerde Kaldı. Tell me about these two pieces of music, Gönül.
They are actually examples of troubadour songs. Most of folk music in Turkey is fed by troubadours who in the past used to go from town to town carrying their saz or bağlama.
That's the string instrument that we've just
heard.
That's
right. And they carry different cultures from different parts of the country. That's how it was for centuries. For today's folk music scene, that type of music is important because of changing material conditions in people's lives. People don't create folk music anymore, but one particular section of the society, they are called Alevis.
And the Alevis are the Sufis, is that it?
They are part of Sufi tradition, and they still make songs, make lyrics, and they still maintain this culture.
What have we just heard? These two pieces of music, what have we just
they
heard?
They were called Deyish. That is the most common form in terms of music of Alevis. These songs are still alive today and created by maybe more modern troubadours. They are about how things has changed and how social solidarity is less and people don't care much about each other and so on.
Hamit, as the musical director of this group, Nefes, and I mean, you're all, well, as I said, you're mostly all from Turkey, and you're based now in London. So how do you do your research? How do you find the songs for your group?
Well, most of the repertoire we're doing is actually passed throughout the generations to newcomers. So most of the choir members have learned their music probably at a younger age. Myself too.
What, through your family?
Through family, through my brother and close family members. Just we're trying to continue this tradition to next generations, basically. Where we are based in North London, there are several music schools where this instrument and the lyrics are taught in their original form.
And the people who go to those schools, are they entirely Turkish? Do you have other cultures?
Turkish,
coming?
Kurdish, some interest from other cultures, but mainly Turkish and Kurdish, yeah.
The music that we just heard by your group, by Nefes, actually featured you, Hamit, playing this stringed instrument, the saz.
Yes.
And the full choir as well. And I wonder if you could do something now, some members of your group could do something now that's a different kind of music.
We have another tradition, what we call uzun hava, that is air sang in an elongated, extended way.
Long song.
Long song. Yes.
So it's free literally rhythm, no percussion?
It is free rhythm. Percussion is not used. There's accompaniment by saz or a similar string instrument. This one we are going to listen to is called The White Rose, Argül. A song carries a sad story behind. Someone fell in love with someone else, but her father was wealthy and decided his daughter should have a different type of match. So this is the sad song created by the lover.
And the two musicians that are going to perform this are Hasan Dur, who plays balama, another kind of saz, string instrument. And then tell me about the singer, Melek.
Melek Tezcan. She recently moved to London to do her bar school studies. She is a law school graduate. And my mind tells me that she should, of course, complete her studies, but hopefully have a career in music. She has a delicate, beautiful sound voice.
Beni böyle yakar, kor gider misin? Evvel sevip sonra ah terk eder misin? Yar
deli Poyraz gibi deli esmedi. Ah günüm, günüm, kaderime küstüm, sana küsmedim. Yar eylen, eylen, gül eylen. Ben o dosttan umudumu kesmedim. Ah gülüm, gülüm, gülüm. Beni böyle yakar, kor gider misin? Evvel sevip sonra ah, ah terk eder misin? Yar eylen, eylen, gül eylen,
Well, two exceptional young musicians, both from Turkey, here in the World Roots studio, performing that long song, or Uzun Hava, which is the White Rose, is that
that's it? Right.
And the two musicians are Melek Tezkan, she's the singer, with Hasan Dur on Balama. So tell me about your group, about Nefez, and also what Nefez means.
It shortly means breath, breathing is nefes. It has a deeper meaning in Sufi Alevi tradition. It has a lot to do with soul, self, and so on. We started about 3 years ago with two main aspects to prevail. One is to sing the songs in their authentic forms without trying to be polyphonicizing them and so on. And the other aspect would be to be open to anyone who would be interested in singing them.
Hamid, the instrument that you play, these long-necked lutes, which are so beautifully crafted, which you call saz, that's a very old Turkish instrument.
That's a very old instrument. It's actually found throughout the Middle East, in Turkey, in Syria, Kurdistan, Iran, throughout the whole of the Middle East. But it's one of the most predominant instruments in Turkish folk music.
And can anyone play the saz? I mean, you don't have to be born into a certain kind of family.
Not really, yes. It's just like any other instrument, really. Apart from that, with the Alevi tradition, it's also considered as a sacred instrument since it is played in the ritual ceremonies and so on.
So in a way, what we've heard so far has a sort of sacred aspect to it. But you must have some good old rowdy folk songs that are very secular.
We do. Plenty of them.
Plenty of them.
And we also sing from all corners of Turkey, and that includes Balkan part of Turkey. They have more rhythmic, more catchy songs, same as our Black Sea Coast songs.
So we have time for one more piece of music from the Nefez folk group. Can we have something that's kind of rowdy and lively?
Yes, that is coming from our Black Sea Coast, called I Go to Batum.
I go to Batumi.
Batumi, that's right.
Now, Batumi, if it's the same Batumi that I think it is in Georgia,
that's
on
right.
The Black Sea coast, not far from the border
right.
with Turkey.
It's probably because in the olden times it used to be part of this Ottoman Empire thing and so on.
It's
in Georgia.
But it's a great holiday resort. It's a beautiful place with a fabulous pebbly beach and a big Ferris wheel and lots of holiday homes. So
that's Riviera of the Russia, I believe. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for bringing in the Nefez folk group for our World Roots session. Thank you very much, Gunul, and you, Hamit, as well. And thanks to all the musicians. And we end with a song, Let's Go to Batumi.
Music from Turkey, bringing this week's edition of World Roots to a close. The programme was presented by Lucy Duran and the producer was Juan Carlos Jaramillo. Well, BBC Piano season is drawing to a close, and among the programmes as part of it tomorrow, in Tune at 4:30, three pianists will be performing live. Lucy Parham and the actor Dominic West are celebrating Debussy. The former New Generation artist Ashley Wass plays part of Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony transcribed, and there's the Armenian jazz pianist Tigran Hamasyan. That's on In Tune tomorrow from 4:30. Now on Radio 3, it's 11 o'clock. That means it's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, an interview with superstar singer and pianist Diana Krall.
I always look at music or songs as small movies or films or short stories. And this particular experience was a much more cinematic, visual, creating a character out of a time and not trying to recreate the era, but just my interpretation of 1920s music.
More from that interview, plus music from her new album, Glad Rag Doll, later on in the show. We've also music from the quartet of trumpeter Quentin Collins and sax man Brandon Allen, recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. Plus, Kevin Legendre is here with another classic plucked from the vaults as part of our regular Now's the Time feature. Kevin, what have you unearthed for us this month?
It's one of the great mood albums recorded in jazz in the last 15 years. It's Brian Blade's Fellowship, and it features glorious sounds like this.
From Brian Blade's Fellowship album, thank you, Kevin. First up, saxophonist Courtney Pine has a brand new album, House of Legends, which depicts honourable, strong people, celebrates African Caribbeanism, and generally creates a party atmosphere. Pine is on good form as he demonstrates his virtuosic soprano skills. This is his tribute to the founder of London's world-famous Notting Hill Carnival, Claudia Jones.
Thank you.
Courtney Pine's tribute to journalist and political activist important to London's Caribbean community in the 50s and early 60s, who also founded the Notting Hill Carnival. That was Claudia Jones. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online, and on digital radio. And as well as jazz on Radio 3, remember there's plenty more jazz across the BBC airwaves, all available via the BBC iPlayer. And tomorrow night, there's Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson. And I'm very happy to say that Jez joins me on the line. Welcome, Jez.
Hi, Julian.
Well, last time we had you on, we were talking about the BBC's piano season and the fact that you're learning piano. How are the lessons going with pianist Alexander Hawkins?
How can I describe? I'd say baby steps. I think I mentioned last time I'm learning this tune, Mysterioso, Thelonious Monk. In fact, you said to me something which, you know, I can't get out of my head, which I thought it was simple, when you said something like, you know, it's never simple with Monk. And I've certainly been discovering it. I think I've got the basic tune down. I can play the tune, but not, I wouldn't say I could play it well. Alex has been trying to sort of teach me some of the kind of the basic points of improvisation, which I'm struggling with, but I'm absolutely loving it. I'm really enjoying it.
What are those basic points that you're struggling with?
It's interesting, because I listen to so much music, I could imagine improvising in my head. So he's, I think, I don't know if he's just being nice to me, but he says I'm kind of rhythmically doing maybe some of the right things, and I know when something's wrong. But I think the thing I'm struggling with is he's been, you know, chord changes and knowing, you know, knowing where to go and sort of the speed at which you guys operate. That's the thing. I've always been amazed by watching people improvise, but I'm even more amazed now, because I'm thinking, well, how do you know where you're going? And that's the thing I'm really struggling with. Does that make sense?
It does. And it seems to have changed your perception about some of the technical aspects of how to play this music.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's interesting. You just sit down, even at the very basic level I'm at, you then go, okay, I now understand a little bit more about the way this music, the music is put together. So, my respect increases even more.
How's the preparation going for the, how's the classic preparations going for your famous launch of the London Jazz Festival? What's it going to be like this year?
Yes, it's interesting you say that, because I hadn't quite realised, but just putting this together, we have realised this is the 10th year that we've had a programme on the opening night of the London Jazz Festival.
Wow.
And I think it's maybe fourth or fifth year that we've come from Ronnie Scott's, which is always a real honour for me to sit on that stage. And we're there this year on November the 9th, live on Radio 3 from 11 o'clock. We have an excellent lineup. We have a Swiss band called Hildegard Learn to Fly, who sort of work yodeling into jazz. There's some great clips on the YouTube worth checking out. A band called Go Go Penguin from Manchester, who are very much sort of very, very heavily influenced by the Esbjorn Svensson trio, but I think they're going to be big. And then Terence Blanchard, who I'm sure you know well, Julian.
Very well,
And you know, I've got great memories of seeing him playing at Ronnie's with Art Blakey.
Oh, wow.
So he's got his quintet, which would be good. And then